So a team who have started to make headlines of late is Whitehawk, a side who you've probably seen the images of their game from the weekend as Jordan Rose wheels away having scored the equaliser against Dagenham in the striking pink shirts and black shorts of Whitehawk. And if they manage to get past Dagenham in the next round of the FA Cup, in the third round, they would face Everton. Let's find out some more, though, about Whitehawk themselves from the local paper, The Argus. We're joined by sports editor Howard Griggs. Howard, welcome to the show.
Hello there. Hello there, Andy.
Now then, first of all, because a lot of people have now heard of Whitehawk, but not that many people know geographically what sort of area we're talking. And again, the name of the publication you're from, The Argus, doesn't give that much away. So do you want to kind of fill us in up north for those who aren't as aware of Whitehawk as maybe they could be?
Yes, yeah. Whitehawk is an estate in the east side of Brighton. It's actually one of the sort of most deprived estates in the country. But as I say, it's sort of in the shadow of Brighton Hove Albion, but it's based in the east part of Brighton.
And what about the history of the side? For fellow players of a Football Manager like myself, probably became aware of Whitehawk about 3 or 4 years ago when they got promoted to a level that Football Manager would cover. It became a bit of a cult thing for Football Manager players online to try and take Whitehawk as far as they could. But what's kind of the history of the team in the real world?
Yeah, I mean, they were formed in 1945, and for most of their history, they were just a county league side, and no more than that. They played year in, year out. Sort of Parks football. Then, you know, 2007, some people who sort of self-made men who had their roots in the area decided to put something into the club and started to invest heavily. 2010, they won the Sussex County League, and that's when it all really sort of started for them. Three promotions in four seasons lifted them up to where they are now, which is the sort of sixth tier of English football. So it's really all happened in the last few years for Whitehawk.
And you say about the area that they're from, the ground, I believe, it's got a capacity of around 2,000 fans, but with the popularity that they're starting to get and the notoriety, is that the kind of thing that they might be looking to increase, or are they happy with that sort of capacity?
Well, there are long-term plans. There are long-term plans to get a new ground. The people running the club are very ambitious, and you know, they're putting a lot of money into the club. And they want to get to the Football League. They've said that. They know there's a lot of work to do, and there's absolutely no way they could do it where they're currently based. What they're trying to do at the moment is increase the fan base. I mean, up to a few years ago, it was your sort of, you know, what people imagine, just a handful of people, you know, the man and his dog. But it's really started growing in the last couple of years. Their fan base is increasing. But they also need to do that a lot more to take them forward.
One thing which would definitely help would be a cup run, and to get past Dagenham and Redbridge in the replay and to play Everton. I mean, there must be certain people associated with Whitehawk who, and I know they've not got there yet, so they won't want to get ahead of themselves, but there must be certain people with the club and the fans of the club who just look at it and say, do you know, we could actually be playing Everton in a few weeks' time.
I think there's a very real opportunity. I mean, yes, they're sort of two leagues below Dagenham and Redbridge, but Whitehawk play quality football. The manager preaches, you know, a passing style of game, and they can be a real joy to watch. I think they've got a genuine chance of beating Dagenham in the replay, and then, yes, you know, they're playing Premier League Everton, and I think there's a lot of people within the club, there's people who have been around there years, who are sort of pinching themselves, thinking, is this really happening? But it is.
Now, Jordan Rose was the person who scored that equaliser on Saturday. There is a great image, actually, that I've seen on the Argus website of him wheeling away from there, hands raising in the air. It's a great picture. Is he one of the key men? Because I know he was a substitute on Saturday, and if he isn't, who is the person for Whitehawk who can really push them forward?
Yeah, no, to be fair, Jordan Rose is doing him a disservice. He's been out of the game for nearly 2 years, and he's feeling his way back in. As I say, at the moment, he's probably fourth choice centre back. He only came on at Dagenham because both their centre backs went off injured, and he was the second one to be introduced from the bench. As I say, that may sound a bit unfair to him because he's got a decent background in football. But at the moment, no, he wouldn't be considered a key player for Whitehawk. What they've got a lot of players who have, with a Football League background, The captain is Sergio Torres, an Argentinian midfielder who was with Crawley Town when they got to the fifth round of the FA Cup and played Manchester United at Old Trafford. They've also got a striker called Jake Robinson, who played for Brighton, amongst other clubs, scored a couple of hat-tricks for Brighton. I think the key men are really their wide players. Sam Deering, who crossed for the goal at the weekend, is a player who just unlocks so many defences.
We mentioned about Whitehawk and the fact that they have risen, they're now a more well-known name within football. Whitehawk actually really stands out as a team name, I think. But I know that, as you say, they want to maybe expand to become a side bigger than just the area that they're currently in. That, I'm hearing, may involve them looking at a name change.
Yeah, the name change is something that's been on the agenda for some time. So people are sort of jumping on this and thinking this is something that's just come out of their FA Cup run. It's not. It's been discussed and mooted for some while. What they want to do, they want to call themselves Brighton City. They're concerned that people don't know where Whitehawk is. Obviously, the Cup run is addressing that. But when this all first came up, a lot of people were saying, well, where is Whitehawk? The way they're running the club is based on sort of people investing heavily. They want to make it sustainable. It's not at the moment because they're relying on investors. And they feel the way to take it forward is to open it up to a wider public, and they believe that involves changing their name. There's some history in the Sussex area in that Eastbourne Borough changed their name from Langley Sports, and Whitehawk have pointed to that as one of their reasons for doing it. Eastbourne Borough, say were Langley, and there were already two existing Eastbourne teams. With Whitehawk wanting to change to Brighton City, that obviously could be considered a conflict with Brighton Hove Albion, and Brighton Hove Albion are not happy about the possibility of Whitehawk changing their name. I think the FA Cup run has perhaps changed the landscape a little bit, in that Whitehawk have now perhaps put themselves on the map, and some people would ask whether they do need to change their name now. And that is a sort of valid point that sort of I think perhaps the club will consider. It's something they want to do, but it's something they're still discussing within the club. They had previously put an application to the Football Association, which was rejected. I think the supporters are still to be convinced, and some of the sort of long-term volunteers around the club are still to be convinced. But it's something they're working through together and trying to find out what is the best way to go forward now, whether to pursue a name change or whether they do still keep it as Whitehawk. The words they're saying at the moment are that at the moment they are still pursuing a name change.
Well, you mentioned there that they wanted to include Brighton, or looking to include Brighton in that name change. The other team in Brighton, they're doing quite well for themselves. I can remember years ago, I'm a Huddersfield Town fan, we played Brighton. It was a phase where we were beating teams left, right and centre under Lee Clark. I can't remember the exact score, but Brighton, I think, scored one. We scored several. However, since then, since the Amex, really, Brighton and Hove Albion as a side have really kicked on.
They have really kicked on. I mean, it's been a wonderful period the last few years since they moved to the Amex. They were at the Athletic Stadium with Dean for so many years. And it was during that time that they played Huddersfield, and I think the score was 7-1. I think Brighton had a debut goalkeeper come on after their first choice got sent off at 1-0. So it wasn't a great night for him. But, yeah, the club have progressed immensely. The stadium is fantastic. Wisdeen used to hold about 7,000. They're regularly getting sort of 25,000 in the Amex. Last season was not a good season. The managerial appointment they made of Sima Hippier just didn't work out. Chris Hughton came in. A lot of people perhaps questioned that. He's obviously an experienced man. They wondered whether he had the character to, he certainly didn't. He's a different character to Gus Poyet, who's still holding great esteem at the club. But Chris Hughton has done a fantastic job. He's sort of quietly, efficiently rebuilt the squad. I think people are still surprised at how well they're doing this year. I think everybody in the area thinks it won't last. But 19 games unbeaten, at the moment it is lasting, and they are having a fantastic season, and they've recently sort of strengthened the squad with, you know, James Wilson coming from Manchester United.
And the FA Cup in the draw, Brighton have got Hull City. How was that seen on the South Coast?
I think the feeling at the moment is probably the focus now should be on the league. And that's the general feeling I got back, that people aren't too interested in the FA Cup at the moment, which is a real shame from my point of view, because I'm a football traditionalist. I think the FA Cup's fantastic. Brighton, of course, got to the FA Cup final in 1983. I think one or two fans are sort of starting to believe that actually, yes, this could be a promotion season, and they don't want the FA Cup run to get in the way of that, particularly as it's against one of the rivals for promotion. So I don't think there was a universal whoop, this is great, when the draw was made. The focus was certainly on Whitehawk's draw around here. But it will be an interesting tie, because two good teams, going head-to-head up there at Hull.
How would it have been seen if Brighton had drawn Whitehawk in the next round?
I think that would have been very interesting, because the whole name change thing would have been sort of raked up everywhere. Obviously it's on the agenda, it's on being debated in the Sussex area, and perhaps a little bit beyond now, but it certainly would have been put on a national agenda, because the team called Brighton against a team that want to be called Brighton, and that would have been very interesting. I had personally wondered whether I had a feeling it might happen, but it obviously didn't.